Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I am actually very, very excited for today's conversation and today's guest. This is someone that I've had on my mind trying to get him to come on for a while, and he finally said yes. Okay, I will say I didn't actually ask him yet until yesterday, but he's been someone that I've been waiting for the right timing to ask him to come on. And so fortunately for me, when I asked him, he said yes. So welcome to the show, Tony Alboron. Welcome, Tony.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I'm excited too, because in a couple weeks, Tony will be giving the message. So I thought this was a good opportunity for us to kind of bring him on the podcast, let our congregation and all of our listeners get kind of a chance to feel and know and understand Tony before he goes up on stage and shares from the pulpit. I wanted to give him a little bit of a platform and a runway for our people to get to know him before that. So, but like we do with a lot of our first-time guests, we always ask the question, what is something that God's been highlighting to recently? So, Tony, what is something that God's been teaching you recently?
Oh, wow, it's a good question. Well, first, thank you again for letting me allow me to come on. Appreciate it. I think something that God has recently been highlighting to me is just a desire for His Word.
Mm.
It's something that really God is not just reading, because you have your daily devotion time where you read your Bible, or you just study something or read through something or a devotional or something of that nature. But really, again, like a strong desire to look into His Word, study His Word, understand more than just what's on the surface. Always had a passion for that for a long time, a desire just to know God more through His Word and what His Word says to us. So recently, just reigniting in my heart a passion for just studying His Word recently has been really what God's been dealing with me on. Because when you're asking God for direction for things, God, what direction do you want me to take? What decision do you want me to make? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to handle these situations? Or what's the next step for me? Look to His Word. He gives you direction. The Holy Spirit leads you through His Word. So I feel like just recently, just get back to the Word, get back to my Word, study, dig deep, get lost, get lost in my Word, the same way you get lost in that Dodger game, I like how you brought
it. It's been kind of easy to get lost in the Dodger games recently. They've been playing really well.
Yeah. So it's like, just, take time to study again. There's a few books that I'm reading that I haven't finished that I've had for a little while that I kind of just leave and come back to and this kind of thing. Okay, it's time for me to finish that book. I need to go back and get through this one already. And not for the sake of just getting through it, but, let me finish this. Let me finish what God's teaching me and showing me through this, and they're books that are, on biblical things and stuff, studying, Word and just biblical teachings, theology, and things like that. So it's like, let's go back and let's finish learning.
So as you've been kind of digging in deeper, is there anything specific that you feel like has been highlighted or kind of stood out to you as you've been kind of digging in deeper?
A lot of it has been knowing God more and like navigating through situations that you're, like the young man that was speaking in service on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. He was talking about how he tested out of school and how he went, and now he's like, I'm free.
Yeah.
But what am I going to do, right? Like when you're like, okay, this next phase in my life, like right now I'm expecting, a child in August, end of August.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Thank you. That's exciting.
It is pretty exciting. I'm getting more and more excited as we get closer. It's becoming a little more real every day. We're getting to that point where, okay, and a lot of people may not know, but like my wife, we got married last October. Our children, the older ones, hate's such a bad word, right? But I don't like using stepchildren, but reality is that's who they are. But they're my kids. Yeah. I love them. They're my children. So the this is my first actual child that we're having, right? So, okay, Lord, how do I not only prepare for that, but how do I lead a family? Mm-hmm. How do I lead my wife? Mm-hmm. How do I lead the children? And not just lead them, but just, you know, I'm the dad, I'm the man of the house, mm-hmm. type of thing. But how do I make sure that, like what Pastor Barry was preaching on Father's Day, you know, how do I become that provider? Mm-hmm. How do I become that prayer in the house? How do I lead them closer to God and to mm-hmm. Jesus, their relationship? Like when I pray for them in the morning, you know, Lord, let them choose you. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I lead them and how can I help them choose you? Mm-hmm. And respond to you in relationship with you. So I think like that, those type of things, God has kind of been dealing with me on, like to go deeper in that way. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, I think that's really cool. Like you're preparing for an expanded fatherhood.
Yes.
And the right way to do that is to look to the real Father, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah.
And to get to know Him as Father, even mm-hmm. in a deeper way, and that how that prepares you to step into this bigger role as Father.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like, so not knowing what to expect, mm-hmm. right? Not knowing what's there, but God knows, you know, the beginning from the end. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let me trust Him. You know, how do I trust Him? How do I, and it's so weird because you serve God for such a long time and you're like, oh, I have faith in God. I trust in the Lord. Like He leads me in everything. But in situations like you're facing a new situation, yeah. you're just like, what am I going to do? But then you don't really stop to go, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Mm. Or God, how do you want me to handle this? Or help me to know, give me discernment to know how to handle the situation, what to do, you know? So that's kind of, there's a lot of changes that are going on in my life mm-hmm. right now, positive, really good, positive changes, good things. So how do I navigate all those good things and how do I make sure that I don't, you know, step out to the right or the left of what God wants me to do? There was something a couple of years ago that God had showed me that He spoke to my heart was like the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that's so cool. God, you know, He's going to order my steps, you know? But I remember one time I was in prayer and I was like, God, you know, you say that you're going to order my steps. Help me to see the steps to make sure that I walk the steps that you're leading me on, that I don't walk. Lord, I want to go do this. You know, mm-hmm. I want to go this way. And God's like, but I need you to go this way,
yeah.
you know, not to be like, you know, a little stubborn. Let me listen and be obedient to what He wants me to do, because I've seen the dangers in my own life, the mistakes where I go, ah, I'm going to do this anyways. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh man, I shouldn't have did that. I should have. God told me not to. And I did it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, and that, let me be obedient. So I want to walk. It's the safest path. Mm-hmm. So I think that's in this situation, that's kind of what God's been, you know, challenging me and growing in like that faith element, growing in a deeper faith and a different faith, I think is how I would describe it.
Yeah. He can order our steps, but then He gives us the choice. Well, are you going to follow the order that I give you, or are you going to go in the way that you want to go?
Exactly, exactly. That's what one of the big things I picked up out of the message on Sunday. You know, it's like, it's true. Like, He gives us the free will to choose, but, mm-hmm. you know, get some of that nasty stuff on that hot dog.
You know? Yeah, so I actually don't know, because they didn't describe some of the things that were on the hot dog. So if you weren't sitting close to the hot dog, okay, so yesterday, if you weren't in service, Sean and Dylan gave the message, and as one of the illustrations of this, you know, choosing God's way or choosing our own way, right? Because God gives us freedom. So that was kind of the theme of their message, was that God gives us freedom, and in Christ, and we know the truth will set us free. But we still have a choice to make, and we can choose to live in that freedom, in the truth, or we can choose to go our own way. And so for this illustration, they had two people that were blindfolded that were going to be eating two different kinds of hot dogs. One person was going to follow the instructions on how to prepare the hot dog, and the other person was going to just do it however they wanted. So, you know, Dylan was giving the instructions, and he said, okay, put ketchup on, put, you know, pickles and relish on, put some mayonnaise on, or, you know, things that you would probably typically find on a hot dog. And they also had some other ingredients. I think there was like chocolate syrup and kimchi and some other stuff that, you know, don't necessarily mix well. And so when I think it was Eli was eating the hot dog that was prepared by his brother. So, you know, that should already give you a clue of what's going to be in it. You know, his younger brother gets a chance to prepare this hot dog. And, And yeah, so his face was, I don't think, I let's just say he didn't, I don't think he liked it.
No, I don't think so either. Kudos to him though, man. He sure did.
Yeah.
He took two bites.
Yes, he did go back for the second one. But yeah, so, you know, in that, it's like the Lord will order our steps. He'll give us the direction. But then it's our choice. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to continue to follow, say, yes, Lord, I'm going to submit to your way. I'm going to follow in the steps that you've ordered for me. Or I'm going to just do it the way I want to do it, right? And so it's cool to see in this new situation that you're coming into that you're able to say, like, Lord, I want to do it the way that you want. So first you have to show me, and then I have to say, yes, I want to do it that way too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the beauties of serving God, right, is the free will that he does give us to choose. Mm-hmm. You always describe it, God's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on you or force you to do anything. He gives us the option to choose. And I think that's his faithfulness draws you, and his love draws you to want to make a decision that pleases him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's, and not just that, but I want to do right. My wife deserves for me to do right by her. My children deserve for me to do right by them. The house of God deserves for me, as a part of the house of God, we were talking about the members and things, right? To do right by those decisions and choices. I think for me, at least, that's how I kind of view it. It's try not to come from a point of view of like I deserve something, for lack of better words, right? Like feel entitled to anything, right? Because everything's by the grace of God, and what he gives me is by his goodness and his grace. And there's things that I know that as a son that I have right to as his son, but I don't want to ever feel like, God, like you owe this to me. You know, that's never the case.
Yeah.
So I feel like I want to do right. I feel like, you know, the sacrifice that people make, or the sacrifice the church makes, or the sacrifice that Christ made for me deserves, you know, a response to me to go, by God's grace, do the best that I possibly can for what he's asking me to do. So I think I kind of owe it to God to do it the way he wants to. Can't say I've always lived up to that, you know, more often not than I do, but really want to try to be conscious of that, I think, in my life, especially as, you know, you start getting older, you start realizing like, man, I guess the older people that told me things earlier in life, where they were right.
but I really like, and I appreciate the way that you're recognizing like the Lord as the gentleman, that he's not going to force you to do things, but he gives you the opportunity to choose. But then the way that you're also leading your family in that as the father, right? It's like you recognize that from your heavenly father, and you're trying to lead your family. So kind of like picking up on what you were talking about earlier, when you pray for your kids, like help me to lead them in a way that they'll choose you. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, God, I want to, you know, like you're not forcing them. You're not, but it's like, I want them to make that choice, right? And not just, okay, I'm doing it because my dad is making me do it. But you really want them to choose the Lord. And I think that's such a cool perspective, because, you know, there's not everyone is like that. There are families out there where it's like, no, you have to do this because I'm telling you to, or you have to be a Christian because I'm telling you to, or those types of things, right? But it's like you're recognizing the Lord's grace and his demeanor towards us, that he's allowing us to choose, and then you're doing that to your family, and I feel like that is a way to draw them in, as opposed to, you know, I do feel like a lot of times when, you know, people are forced into it, then later on they're like, okay, I'm out, right?
They resent it.
Yeah. And so the way that you're raising up your family, it's like, no, I want you to see my desire to choose the Lord, and I want you to choose like that too.
Yeah, I don't want to make it seem like, oh yeah, I have it together. I know what I mean. I haven't even been married a year. I still got a whole lot to learn. I got a long way to go, you know? I just think earlier before we got on, right, we were talking about how you and I process things, right? So, you know, I heard the funniest thing was like, so I love Christian rap music, right? Grew up in the 90s, so rap music is always so, that's the thing, right? And then I was like, oh, there's Christian rap music. Oh, this is cool. I could bump and I can still be holy. I like this, you know? So a lot of Christian, but I remember hearing a Christian rap song a long time ago where this artist, he said, he goes, a wise man learns from another's mistakes. Mm. And he goes, I'm no dummy. So that's the bar, right? I was like, man, yeah, let me try to learn from other people. And then as I started getting older, you know, I told people, just because I was able to, maybe I made a mistake, made a bad choice, and I was able to come back from that bad decision and bad choice, it doesn't mean everybody else will. Mm. So don't make the same mistake. Mm-hmm. Don't make that same decision. Because there's some people that decided to go to that place they weren't supposed to go, and they didn't come home that night. Mm. God's grace was on me that I did come home that night, you know. But it might not, you might not. Mm-hmm. So don't risk it, you know. So having that type of mindset coming into Christianity or growing in the Lord, in the house of God, I've been in church forever. Feels like I've been forever, right? Watching other people and how they handle situations to their best of ability, you know, not knocking or downing anybody for the decision or choices they made, but just trying to say, like we talked about the chicken, right? Eat the meat, spit out the bones. I like how they handled that situation. Or, ooh, maybe I won't. Maybe I don't want to handle it that way. Trying to take all those years of being in the house of God and hearing all the sermons and messages and teachings on how you're supposed to be a father and how you're supposed to raise your children and all these different things. And just from what the Word of God says as well, also, you know, how a father's supposed to be, trying to take those things in and try to say, okay, how, and then real life experience now, like, oh man, you know, that's, it's not as easy as it looks, you know, but trying to get to that situation where I'm able to apply those things the best that I can and trying to learn the best that I can and understand that I don't know everything, right? But trying to figure it out, you know, let my wife, you know, do what she does as well, like, because she has been raising the children by herself for a while, so it's, mom has her mode, mom has her way of doing things, mom has her, you know, her system down. Don't disrupt the system, go with the flow, you know. Hey, all right, let's do it that way, you know. And then wait for the opportunity to say, well, maybe we can you know, do it a little different here or there. But, you know, being open to what God's going to show me for those things, and then how to apply them, right? And one thing that I've picked up years ago was, as Christian parents, you can't force your kids to do anything. They have to make that choice by themselves. You could be the best parent, the best godly parent, the best example, do everything that you possibly can as a parent that's right for the children, for that child, and that child still has to stand before God alone. So the children have to choose themselves who they will serve. Now, I always have my thought, my perspective is, I can't force you to serve God, but you will respect it. You will respect the house of God. I can't force you to worship him. I can't force you to pray. I'm not going to force you to read your Bible. I'll encourage you. I'll try to help you do that. I'll try to help you understand what you're reading, be an example to you, all these different things. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to choose who you will serve, because I'm not going to be there when you stand before God. My mom is not going to be standing there with me when I stand before God. Pastor Barry's not going to be next to me when I stand before God. You know, I got to stand before him by myself. So you have to answer for yourself, you know. And so, but I will say, you know, you will respect it. You will respect the house of God. You will respect the things of God. You know, you will understand why it's important for you to respect those things. I'll explain to you and teach you and help you bring understanding why you should. So that's at least my approach, right? But at the end of the day, yes, I hope God help me help them choose you. You know, let me not be the one that says, I don't want to serve God because of him. I don't want to serve God. I don't want nothing to do with God because he, you know, because of something I did. God forbid, you know, that I would be the reason why they wouldn't. I mean, that would shatter my heart. You know, it's hard enough, I think, with the world, the way the world pulls on our hearts and pulls on our lives to respond a lot of times, especially as younger. You know, I was a teenager growing up in church, so I understand the call of the world and the call of the life of trying to, like, oh, they're having so much fun, they're doing all this, they're experiencing that, they're this and that, and I have to go to church, you know. And it's like, sometimes they can feel like they're missing out. You know, it looks appeasing, it looks fun, you know. They're out there doing this and they're not getting hurt, like my dad said that will happen. And you know, but that's just the deception, right, that the picture that the devil paints for people. But I would want them to say, like, you know, he was a good example to me to serve God.
Yeah, I think it's really cool just hearing you share about some of these things, because you know there's a lot of people that when they're in single mode, they're not listening to these messages about parenting and fatherhood and these things and saying like, okay, how is this going to apply to me in the future, right? They're just like, oh, they're talking about something that that doesn't really apply to me right now, right? So just to hear you sharing about the ways that you were processing and receiving some of these messages years ago, the way that the Lord has been using that now, and it's coming out now in mm-hmm. in this new role that you have as a father, I think it's really cool just to see, man, the Lord has set you up already for this to do well, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, I thank God for that. And you know, you go through different stages of life where you have different, you know, spiritual like mentors or spiritual mm-hmm. fathers that are in your life that come and go, right? Some for good reasons, some for bad reasons. Just God moves people on or whatever, relationships at different times. And through those years, God constantly having someone in my life to impart some mm-hmm. wisdom into my life and something there to. And I just really think it's the grace. It really is the grace of God. I don't think it is. I know it is. It's the grace of God that has kept me in his house, that has kept me in relationship with him, that has kept me in a place, because I can be very stubborn. You know, we have a joke. Alberons are very stubborn. You know, we're like donkeys. You know, sometimes we got to get hit in the back of the head with a 2x4. We're very stubborn. But it could be a good thing also, because when, like, well, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm mm-hmm. very stubborn mm-hmm. about serving the Lord. You know, I'm very stubborn about what is right. Mm-hmm. I'm very stubborn on this is what God says and what God wants. So it could be a good thing, but then sometimes it's a bad thing as well. You know, got to be pliable, right? So I think so God's grace on me to those people that have been in my life where they've imparted things mm-hmm. into my heart and things into my life and just taking those in. You know, and I just think that's like this morning I got up, you know, and getting ready to come over here and do this. I just told God, I said, man, Lord, like, thank you for your faithfulness. Because through everything in my life, you know, I'm 43 years old. Faithfully walked into a church when I was 11. My mom, speaking of forcing kids to church, right? My mom had 6 kids that were with her, right? My youngest brother wasn't born yet. She forced us to church. You're coming to church. We're going to church. You guys don't have a choice. You're coming. And she forced us in. I was 11 years old. I haven't stopped coming to church since. Even when my mom stopped coming to church, I stayed in church. God has kept me. So I just, like, my mistakes and my ups and my downs and my foolishness, right, and wrong decisions or stubbornness, God has been faithful to me. And even at this point in life, like looking at what the beauty of a family that he's entrusted to me, that he's given me, allow me to be a part of an experience like, man, God, you are faithful. You are faithful through everything. No matter what, you are so faithful. And I just was like so grateful in my heart that through everything that he's just, man, he's good. And he really is a good father. He really, really is.
Yeah, and I can tell how important family is to you, because when you guys started coming, it's like you guys rolled deep. Like, right? You know, it was like Tony and Richard came the first time, and then now it's like you guys got a whole squad with you, which is really cool, because I feel like you guys have brought so much to our church and since you guys have come. And, you know, I'm really excited for the opportunity for you to come on and give the word in a few weeks. So, you know, but before that, I did want to use this as an opportunity for people to get to know you a little bit better. So
yeah.
What are some things that you would like for our church congregation and the listeners to know about you, Tony?
I'm a very simple person. I'm not complicated. I am shy, naturally shy, natural introverted. Some people will tell me, like, I don't believe that. you know, learn to kind of overcome that. So if I don't come out, I'm the opposite of my brother. I'm opposite of my nephew, Jason. Like they're bubbly. They're very out there. They like, you know, even my niece, Julie, they love being the life of the party.
We'll have Jason come on the podcast pretty soon too. He's going to come on the podcast sometime soon. So everyone will get to know him, and everybody's heard from Richard a little bit.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, they're out there, you know, they're very out there. I'm the guy that just, I'll wave. you know, from the corner. Like I said, grew up in church. I've been coming to church since I was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Mom brought us into the church. We came in one Sunday, which is funny. It's our wedding day, October 9th. October 9th, 1994 was the Sunday morning we walked into our previous church. I was 11 years old.
Wow, so that's a very significant day for you now. Yes. Like first day coming into church and your wedding day. That's awesome.
That's kind of how we chose it. Mm. It was funny because we weren't sure like what day, right? What day we want to get married on. So we were throwing back and forth. Me and my wife were throwing back different dates trying to decide. And quite honestly, we were like, what's the cheapest date to do this on, right? What's the least expensive way? And so we started picking certain months where, okay, we kind of want to do this. Then, you know, weather-wise mm-hmm. and different, you know, you're contemplating all those different things. And we settled on a fall time. We're like, okay, we'll do it like towards, you know, September. So I asked her, you know, is there any special dates that you have? Like maybe you're grandparents' birthday or something important day that you would want. She's like, no, I don't have any of that. She's like, what about you? I go, no, I don't either. So we end up, just falling on October. So we decided, okay, we're going to get married in October. Mm. And we're all like, is there any like special dates in October that are special to us or anything like that you would want? And I was like, no, there's not. And then so we're like, okay, we'll kind of figure out when. And I started kind of just playing back in my mind, you know, October. I was like, oh, October is when I started coming to the church. It's mm-hmm. when I first came into the church. And so what's cool about technology, right? Because you can scroll back to all those years to find out what days were on what. And just, you know, zeroing it down, I go, that was the Sunday we came mm-hmm. into the church. That's the Sunday that I first, that we stepped in. And I've been in the house of God since. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we end up setting on. We're like, okay. It fell on a Thursday. We didn't want to do the weekend thing because of just how expensive it is. But also we knew, you know, the kids, you know, where they're going to stay. They're still in school. Mm-hmm. We didn't want them to miss. What was the easiest way? So we were like, we can, you know, get married this day. And then they only miss one day of school mm-hmm. or, you know, the weekend. And then it's easier on, you know, getting grandma to come over and help watch the kids for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it just worked out perfect.
Yeah.
So we ended up setting. So that's the date we mm-hmm. it just ended up being right. Like, okay, God, they worked that out pretty cool. Yeah. Excuse me. And then, October 9th, we got married. I don't know, that's pretty much, I guess, I don't know about me. I'm not very, love the Dodgers. Sorry, Pastor Barry. You know, big time Laker fan too. And there's a lot of Laker fans in the church, a lot of Dodger fans in the church.
Yeah, except you're sitting across from probably the one non-Laker fan in our church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a Clipper fan.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Somebody
has to be little brother. It's okay.
That's okay. At least I get to claim that I've been a Clipper fan since back in the day, since the 90s. So, yeah, I was never a bandwagon Clipper fan. I've been a Clipper fan since the OGs.
There you go. Yeah, so, I mean, love sports, love Jesus, you know, just simple guy. I'm not complicated.
Yeah, so... Okay, so one of the things that I feel like has been highlighted to me and just in some of our conversations is the concept of house of the Lord and house mm-hmm. of God and being a part of that. And you know, yesterday we were kind of chatting about things and, you know, you had shared about after your previous church and then just not being in church for a little bit and you're like, man, I got to get back into the house of God. I got to get back into the house of God and just... You guys made it an effort, a real effort to, we have to find the next place for us, right? And then kind of as we were talking before we started recording, you were sharing like you were going to miss a Sunday. It's like, oh man, I need to get back in the house of God, right? And so just that concept and that hunger that you have to be in God's house, like I just wanted to see if you could share a little bit about that and about your journey and just your hunger to be in God's house. Like I think that's really cool desire that you mm-hmm. have and I think it's kind of unique too, so I want to hear more about what that is.
So going back to like, you know, more about me into that mm-hmm. I think so when we were younger kids, obviously we come from a real broken family. Mm. Parents were drug addicts and alcoholics. Mm. A lot of child abuse. We were, a lot of stuff happened when we were small. So we got taken away. We were in foster homes for a few years. Real bad situation. My mom ended up kind of coming back to Christ, giving her heart to, like, just rededicating her life to God. God started changing her life. She got us back. And then when we came back, she had, through her rehabilitation process, she started going to church, you know, again, rededicating her life. God, you know, God started changing her life. So she was like, we have to go to church. Like, I'll go to church. I want to stay at home and watch the football game, you know, on a Sunday. You know, we want to go play basketball. I want to go run around with my friends. I don't want to, you know, be in church. And she was like, no, you guys are going to church. So again, she forced us. You guys don't have a choice. You're in my house. You're going, right? So drug us all out to, we were going to a church in Bellflower. I remember, but it was, so when you live on one end of Long Beach and you have to take the bus all the way to Bellflower on a Sunday with six kids, you know, that's a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a challenge. And we weren't, mom was, you know, we joke welfare babies, right? Mom was on welfare, getting food stamps, things like that. So she didn't have, not like she had a lot of money to, you know, pay for us to be on the bus every week. So she was trying to look for a closer church, closer to where we lived in Long Beach, towards the end of the side of Long Beach that we lived on. And she was looking and looking and looking. And I guess what had happened was one Saturday, the church, that our previous church, I guess they were having street evangelism in the neighborhoods. And, you know, in the early 90s, that was a real big thing for a lot of churches to be out, you know, on street corners, you know, setting up speakers and street preaching. They would do a lot of, like, back of flatbeds, pulling on the back of a truck, you know, these crazy, you know, street plays that people would do and go out, people would be testifying and, you know, all these different things. But they, I guess they were coming through our neighborhood and they were going door to door, knocking on doors and leaving, you know, flyers or, you know, invitations to the church. The church is real small at that time. There's probably like six people in the church, really small storefront, you know, beginning church, right? Church, very church plant, very beginning. And I guess they had knocked on our door and left one of the flyers. And my mom didn't, at the time, I guess she didn't realize, but she had folded it and put it in her purse. And she had told me, she said that one day she was cleaning out her purse. She found the purse in the closet. She was cleaning it out, like, to throw it away. She wanted to make sure nothing was in there. She found the little flyer folded in the purse. And she's like, well, I guess we'll check out this church. So we went that Sunday. We showed up for the Sunday morning service. And we, and I had started attending that church ever since that day. So, and the reason why I kind of take that long trail out to explain what happened was, we never had a real family feel in our home, right? No, you know, you say, oh, home, there's grandma's house, there's, you know, auntie's house, there's, you know, uncle's house, or there's a family feel at home. We never had that. We never really had family. And even my brother will tell you, like, we never, even to this day, we're not a real close-knit family until Christ comes in and starts saving us. Then God started healing that, right? So we started going to the church, and I was stepping into the church at 11 years old. Boy, scared, you know, wounded, hurt, broken, you know, no sense of direction, no identity, no anything, just a street kid, right? I tell people I was just a ghetto kid from the ghetto, like, just, you know, running the streets, like, you know, just no direction, no sense of direction in life. You show up in the church, and then all of a sudden, you feel like, you feel what to you is home. You start to feel like, oh, this is somewhere I can be. The feeling, the Spirit of God was what it was, right? The Holy Spirit, when you walked in and you sat there, was so unique to me and so different that I felt comfortable there. I felt at peace there. So that, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, that's when I fell in love with the house of God. Because it was home. It's the only sense of home or family that I've ever felt or sensed or ever had. So growing up through all these years, you know, now being 43, never missing, never, ever. I probably can count on one hand how many times I missed a church service. Like, sick, you go. You know, if you can get out of bed, you go. you know, you don't miss it for work. You don't. And I think sometimes it was like that religious mode, right? Mm-hmm. You are trying to check in the box.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't miss, you know, don't forsake the assembly of yourself. You have to show up to church. That's part of your, you know, you can get into that over the years. But just the reality is just that that was so part of who I am. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew, well, where's Tony? He's either at work or he's at church. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you want to find him, you know, go to the church because he's going to be there. He's always there. You know, he's there 6 days a week, you know, so you're always going to find him there. But I think even like when I was 17 was really when like salvation really took hold in my heart, like where I really like understood to the fullness what being a believer meant, right? Really that transformation when I was 17. And I think like David said, right, like there's no place I'd rather be, right? There's no place. One day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. That I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house, you know, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Like this is a place I want. This is it. This is where God meets me, you know. And of course, God speaks to me at home. God speaks to me in my prayer, on my knees in my room. God speaks to me in the shower. God speaks to me in my car. Like I feel the presence of God, like wherever I go. Mm-hmm. But there is something unique and something special about when the people of God get together and they're worshiping in the word of the Lord. It's what God ordained throughout scripture from Old Testament to the New Testament, that this is something that God, this is how God functions. Mm-hmm. And it's a reflecting place. It's a place you can come and, when you don't have the strength to worship, but the people around you do, and you come in and they're worshiping, and you could just sit in the presence of God and allow God to heal you or strengthen you or encourage you, the direction that you get from the pulpit, right? Something about when you go even to the front, to the altar area, right? And you kneel in the presence of God. And like in the tabernacle, right, where the Spirit of God would fall into the holies of holies and then go through the outer court and go through the temple, right? The people knew God was there. And you see that in Christ tearing that veil. I have access to the holies of holies now, you know? I get to go and just be in the presence. And it's different. There's a difference about being in the house of God that is so, that it's just where, it's where I need to be. Right, it's the closest to heaven on earth to be in a place where everybody around me is a believer, or, you know, mostly everybody, and then people are lifting their hands and they're worshiping God. And then what's cool too is watching other people experience the presence of God. I think it's so awesome. Like you get to look and say, man, God's touching that person, God's speaking to that person, God's doing something in that person's life there. Look, that person is, you know, they're new, right? New to new salvation, new, like someone that's new to Christianity, and they're God speaking to them, or watching somebody get healed. God's the power of God coming on that person. You're just like, I know I've experienced that. I know what that's like. And the joy that that brings to your heart, watching someone else experience. So the house of God does so many different things. And when I'm not there, it's like something's, I need to be in the house of God. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. I need to be with the people of God. It's just, I mean, where else do you find that at? You know, I love going to Dodger Stadium. It's amazing. It's fun. You know, I love going to a good restaurant and eating good food. I love, you know, spending time at the beach, or, you know, going for a long drive, or a road trip, or whatever the case is. But being in the house of the Lord is so, it's the most beautiful place. I'm good there. You know, I'm happy. It's my happy place.
So you were at that church from like early teenage years till last year? You were at the same church?
Yeah.
Wow. So then, okay. So just, I mean, I'm just trying to, I guess, process this information. Because, I mean, so this is the first time I'm hearing, you know, we're getting some of these conversation going too. So, you know, so then after things happened last year, that must have been really difficult for you personally, just to like that was home and just all of the difficult things that happened.
Yeah.
That led you guys to say it's time for us to not be here anymore. Like that must have been extra difficult for you, knowing, you know, that was home. That was where you met with the Lord, and you were, you know, just the things that you've been sharing the last few minutes, like, that must have been an extra difficult season for you.
Well, I think in that situation, each one of us that went through that situation, each one of us experienced a different, like, hurdle, I would say, to to that situation, you know. Each one of us was a little bit different. My brother, obviously, his experience was a whole lot different than mine. But what's unique about it for me is that, and I think everybody that stepped away from the ministry and kind of, you know, my family that's now here with Catalyst, and then some of our friends that kind of went to others, also left and went to different churches. They all kind of had a different experience through it all, but they all kind of told me the same thing, because even the previous pastor was there. Obviously, I was been part of that church longer than he was even there. So it's like, we used to have a joke that it's in the church bylaws that an Albron has to be there at the service. One of us has to be there. It's a part of the church bylaws. Because I was always there. I seen the church go through its ups and the downs and the growths and the different things, and seen so many different stuff.
Well, if you started when it was like six people, I mean, that's
pretty much
from the beginning,
literally almost from the beginning. I think the church was there 6 months before I started attending it. Like, it's brand new. So it was always part of that, part of the church there. So having to transition to somewhere else, well, first of all, like I tell people, how can I explain this? It's like the same lady's been cutting my hair since I was 13, right? I've been going to the same lady's been cutting my hair since I was 13. And if, for guys, know, if you find a good barber, you you don't go anywhere else. They're hard to find, right? I could literally go, and that she's awesome. She knows my whole family, you know. Anna, she's an older lady now. I sit in the chair, I can fall asleep, and she'll wake me up, and I'll be done. I don't even have to say anything. She just knows how to cut my hair. And I remember one time I had to go to a different barbershop, and I went to sit to a different barbershop, and I sat in the chair, and the guy goes, "How do you want your hair cut?" And I was like, I have no clue. I have no idea.
The way that Anna does it.
They're like, I have no clue, no idea how you cut my hair. Like, I don't know. I kind of explained, so how do I go to a different church? How do I find a different church? What do I look for? Right? Like, where do you even begin? I never had to search for a church. I never had to, it never crossed my mind. It never entered in my heart. It never entered my heart to ever leave the church until the day I left, until I decided I wasn't going back. That was a process. And I even, I shared with my brother with this too. I said, I was looking for an excuse not to leave. I honestly was looking for a reason not to go. I said, Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to have to leave. I love the church. I love the people. I've served with these people. I've served these people. I've served this community. I've served in this church. And it's not just the church, but God, this is where you had called me. And I've always believed that the only time, and this is just my opinion, the only time I believe that a person should leave a church is when God calls you to. Like, I have this new thing for you to go, be obedient to the Lord, go where God calls you, or the church is in sin. And what I mean by that is, like, if the church condones deliberate, like, sin, you know, there's things that are just being allowed that are just contrary to the word of God, right? That's just clearly, that's not, and I'm not talking about allowing people who are struggling with things in. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, it's okay for you to live a certain lifestyle that's completely contrary to the word of God. Deliberately, you know you're doing it. We know you are. There's no repentance. There's no trying to. And then you go, this is contrary to the word of God. You need to get out of there. That's not the house of God, right? That's only two times that you leave. So I was like, in this situation, is it one or the other? God, are you calling me to go somewhere else? Or is this violation, enough violation according to your word, that will allow me to say, I need to step away from this place you have me in? So to battle through that, and not just that, but the relationship that you have, like, for example, with the last pastor, 20 years, over 20 years of serving alongside him, you know, dedicated, like serving. How do you make that decision? How do you make that choice? Yeah. And it was a battle. And sometimes you still, you know, you miss people, you miss things, you, you know, it was your life. So it's like all of a sudden it's all literally upended and turned upside down overnight. So to find a church. So the process, we, like you, like it shared with you yesterday, me and my brother, because at the time we lived in the same apartment complex. He lived in apartment number 6. I lived in apartment number 7, right? We were right next door to each other. So we were just like, you know, we step back because, you know, we need time to process, need time to heal, need time to kind of get through this whole
I mean,
situation.
For Richard, physically, he really needed to heal.
Yes, yes, like really needed to do that, you know. And in that whole situation, the reality of my brother just truly being a victim in the situation. Mm-hmm. Because I've always, and my family will tell you, there was times when my family was part of the church for a long time. My whole family was part of the church for a long time. And I always believed that you always choose God over everything. You love God more than everything in this world. Mm-hmm. You have to, it's like the mob. Like you're, you know, this is more important than your actual family, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's because Christ, the life that I have is not my own. It's now Christ. I've been bought with the price. Mm-hmm. So God goes above everything. And so there was times where my family was part of the church and maybe in their lives, there were some things that were out of place. Mm. And God was legitimately dealing with their hearts about those things that were out of place. You know, you have some things, some issues that you need to deal with. There's some sin that you have in your life that you haven't repented of, that you haven't turned away from. You need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And they refused to. They didn't want to. I don't know. It's the church is what's wrong. The pastors, you know, they're the ones that are wrong. And they would say, come on, Tony, let's leave. Mm. And I would tell them, no, you're the one that needs to correct. You're the one that needs to deal with this issue. It's not the church. It's not the pastors. It's not the ministry. Mm. It's your life. You're not being obedient to God. You're not being obedient to God's word because it clearly says don't do that. Mm. And you're doing it and you're refusing to acknowledge that. And I would tell them, like, no. So, like, backtrack a little bit. When I was like 20 years old, our church that we were attending went through a thing where the pastors we had at the time, like that, they were deliberately allowing sin into mm-hmm. the church. They were deliberately allowing people to live a certain way that was contrary to the word of God, and they knew it. Mm-hmm. But there was things that were at the time that we didn't know about were happening in their own home, and just mm-hmm. the church was going through a very rough place. And I remember in that time I was praying, and I remember praying, God, like I knew that the church was, you know, dwindling down in numbers because God's like, this thing's getting shut down, mm-hmm. right? But I was like, Lord, I did like the Abraham prayer for Lot. Mm-hmm. Lord, there's one righteous.
Yeah.
You know, Lord, let this place, let nothing, because I told God, I said, God, you promised me some things. Mm-hmm. I said, God, you promised me some stuff. You promised me, like one of the things that he promised me is that I would marry someone out of our church. Mm-hmm. God showed me that. Like, he clearly showed me that. And I said, God, you told me if the church closes, then how is that going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Lord, like, help me out here. You know, and of course, that was 20 something years ago. But I was like, God, like, you know. And then what happened was they came in and removed those pastors, and they brought in our last pastors to take over the church. And God restored, God rebuilt, mm-hmm. God did something powerful. At that time, my family was, they said, Tony, the church is in sin. The pastors are in sin. There's things that are going on. There's things that's contrary to the word of God. Let's go worship somewhere else. Mm. Right? And I told my family, no. I said, I can't. Well, why not? God told me not to leave. Mm. God told me, clear as day, to stay. I asked him. He told me, no, you stay. Stay put. And I was like, okay. So I stayed. You know, my families were hurt over the time at that mm-hmm. moment. Like, man, Tony, you're doing the church over your family. And this, it's not even that. It's not like that. It's like, I have to be obedient yeah. to what God's telling me to do. He, and, you know, 20 years, 19, 20 years old, that's a hard thing to do, to tell, you know. And so having to go through that and then saying, okay, now the situation, and the reason why I say that is because my brother was a victim mm-hmm. in the situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody in my family sinned. Nobody mm-hmm. violated the word of God. Nobody was contrary to the word of God. So it was one of those things where I had to look at and go, okay, at this moment in time, I believe in my heart that it's okay for me to stand next to my brother. Mm-hmm. And in that process, I told him, I said, I was still looking, you know, like I said, excuse to stay. And if I found the reason to stay, the excuse to stay, I would have, and I would have had to figure out a way to work this out with you,
yeah,
you know, as my brother, you yeah. know. But even he looked at me and said, I understand. And he knows my heart, because even when he was laying in the hospital, he looked at me and goes, this is the decision me and my family are doing. This is the decision we made. He goes, I understand. This is not for you to make. This is not, you make your own decision. Mm-hmm. You make your own choice. And if you decide to stay with the church, he told me, he goes, you decide to stay with the church, I'm okay. I understand. Because he knows my heart. He understood mm-hmm. who I was. So But I was like, no, we have to go somewhere else. So, not to ramble on or anything like that, but I, you know, we were out of church for a while and watching different services online. That's cool. It's a blessing. Like, God ministered me all the time through that. You know, a couple times out of the week, I'm listening to different sermons from different mm-hmm. pastors and stuff online and everything. So feeding myself and things, there's nothing wrong with that, but it is not the same thing. You know, even with the COVID thing, right?
Yeah.
Like it's, man, we need to be in the house of the Lord. It's a light. It's a beacon. It's a hospital. It's a place. And you got to get in the house of God. So we're like, we have to find a church, you know? So we started our search. We started looking, we started searching, like, let's go. I told my brother one Sunday, I go, let's get in my car. Let's drive around, you know, let's go look. They didn't want to be at church in Long Beach. I said, let's get out of Long Beach. Let's go somewhere else. So I go to Orange County, driving around, finding these different churches. And we would follow, this building looks pretty cool. Let's pull over, look up on their websites. What do they believe? What does the church teach? You know, what are their classes? Mm-hmm. And one of the things my brother was, you know, because, you know, Jacob and these, yeah. you know what I mean? They're on that spectrum, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, where can the church accommodate that? Because mm-hmm. it's hard for some churches too. It's mm-hmm. difficult. You know, they don't yeah. know how to handle it. A lot of churches don't know how to deal with it, you know? Yeah. So it's like, how can we, you know, or as a place, you know, so he was sending emails out to churches like, hey, do you have this type of program? Mm-hmm. You know, he'd call and leave a message. Do you have this kind of, my children like this? Can, you know, can you accommodate that? You know, we want to find a place that they can come and be fed and be a part of church too. And nobody would respond. And we've looked up a lot of different churches and we couldn't find belief statements. Mm-hmm. Like, what does the church even believe? What do they think about the word of God? Do they believe, you know, certain theological beliefs, or do mm-hmm. you, where do they line up with that? You know, and we know what we believe. We know what the word of God says. So does that line up? And then we, you know, couldn't find anything. We were out for a few hours, just driving around, searching, you know, because in California, there's churches everywhere, right? Yes. They're all over the place, almost every corner. And just couldn't find one that really could answer any of our questions on face value, you know? And so we're just, okay. So we went home. Sat down on my couch, you know, I turned on the football game or something. I don't remember what it was. I think it was football. I just turned on the game. You know, I remember, you remember who was playing. I just sat on the couch and just started Google searching churches, you know. And then I came across Catalyst. And I was like, oh, look at this website. So I said, cool website. So I'm scrolling up and down, you know, got everybody's pictures on there and stuff. And, you know, missions, you know, the mission statement, what the church believes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, we believe all the same things. Okay, cool. They go, that seems pretty neat. And then what got my attention was the missions. Mm. I was like, ooh, they go to missions. And then I looked, I go, oh, look, they went to Kenya. Mm. I was like, that's pretty cool, because I've gone to Kenya. I was like, oh, cool, they've been to Kenya. I go, that's pretty awesome. Like, oh, they believe in missions too. I was like, oh, this seems like a pretty, pretty cool church. All right. So I sent the link to my brother, and I was like, hey, check this out. They go, tell me what you think. So he went through it. He saw it. That was cool. And then he, it was right after Charlie Kirk had been assassinated. So I believe you guys were going through First John.
Mm-hmm.
So John, the church was going through. So he listened to Pastor Barry's message, and I was at work on that Monday, and he sends the link back to me and goes, "You have to listen to the message." Mm-hmm. He goes, "Man, it was good." He goes, "You're gonna like it." I was like, "Okay, cool," because he knows me. He knows mm-hmm. I like a good, you know, sermon that hits you. You know, mm-hmm. I like that. So I listened to it and I'm like, oh man, that is good. Man, that's solid word. Mm. That's some good preaching right there. That's some good word of God right there. I like that. And then I go, you want to go check it out? And he goes, yeah. I go, okay. I go, we'll just take, you know, you take Joanna and I'll tell Darlene to go with us, because we're just engaged at the time. So I was like, I'll tell Darlene to go with us. We won't take the kids, because we didn't want to start mm-hmm. taking the kids to all kinds of different churches and stuff, you know, because they were hurt too. They were confused. They didn't yeah. know what was going on. They're just yeah. like, we're not what? My friends,
yeah,
you know, so we visited that first Sunday, right? We came into the church from the moment, and kudos to Catalyst, man. Beautiful church, amazing people. The moment we walked in the door, you can feel the love mm-hmm. and sincerity, right? And being in ministry for so long, for so many years, being in ministry, serving on the other side of that, You know what it's like being the greeter at the door. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like being the usher. You know what it's like being the part of the worship team. You know what it's like being part, because they've served in probably every ministry across the face of the sun you could think of, I've been a part of. So I've served in, right? So you come in kind of, I want to say critical. But it's kind of like if you worked at McDonald's, mm-hmm. when you walk into McDonald's, you know if the McDonald's is doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? You're like, oh, man, that's dirty. That's not in the right place. This is crooked, right? Like, this is not where it's supposed to be. Whatever profession you have, you know it. You live it. So then when you go into a place or see the same thing, like, you know, like, oh, man, they didn't do that right. Oh, man, this is good work, right? So you walk in and people are greeting you and welcoming you, and it's like you're processing what you're going through. And like, oh, man, they're really friendly. But not just friendly. They feel sincere. It doesn't feel like it's a show. I'm being friendly because I'm told I'm supposed to be friendly. Mm-hmm. You really feel like that's really the person. So, okay, cool. Come up. Service starts. And I'll be honest, church is way different than what we're used to, right? Completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are playing. What's going on in here? You know? Kids are running around. What's going on here, you know? Because you come from a different structure, mm-hmm. you know, where that is not condoned. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't do that, you know? But then the Spirit of God is what testifies to everything. So you mm-hmm. walk in and you can feel the Spirit of God immediately in the service. You're like, oh, the Holy Spirit's here. You know, you go start going through the service. You know, I think Pastor Barry played like a thing from The Chosen. I think one of the clips he showed from Chosen or something. And I can't watch The Chosen because I cry like a baby every time I watch an episode. I can't. At least once somewhere in the episode,
I feel you there.
I'm too tough to be crying at TV shows. I'm not supposed to be doing that. So I was like, so he's like, oh, here we go. Oh, I know what it was. The woman that I think washed Jesus's feet. I think that was this. Mm. Was that the scene? I don't remember what scene it was. I remember what it was. But anyways, it was just one of my favorite stories of the Bible. Mm-hmm. When the lady comes in and washes Jesus's feet. I love that story. So it was just, I was wrecked. You know, we're going through with all these different things. We're like, you know, but at the same time, we are where we're supposed to be in the house of God. Because I know if there's anywhere I can come and find healing and find restoration and find wholeness of heart and find and hear the direction of God, it's in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Because it's outside of the noise in my head. Mm-hmm. It's outside of the noise of my life. It's outside the noise of whatever trial or trouble or thing that I'm going through. I can come to the house of God and I get above that, mm-hmm. right? Because the direction of the Word of God is coming, and I can hear, okay, let me hear what God has for me. So that happened, and then we immediately knew, like, the Holy Spirit. We said in the car, I shared this with you, in the car, we said, we're not going to say, don't talk about nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything. We don't want to come and start dumping on people we don't know, or they're mm-hmm. like, who are these people? What the heck is going on with these? Like, you know, like, we're just going to go, hear what's, and if we like it, we'll probably come back another week, mm-hmm. see how it is, or we can go keep searching and looking. I didn't want to commit to anything, you know. I didn't want to be like, oh, this is our new church, this is where we're going to be, because we don't know, you know. I don't know what this process is like. So we come in, and immediately the Holy Spirit's like, Pastor Barry walks up, you know, Pastor Barry,
yeah,
you know, he's all friendly and everything, and God immediately says, you can tell him. Mm. Immediately, you can tell him. I looked at my brother, I said, you want to tell him? He's like, yeah. All right, so we went and shared our story with them, explained everything that was happening, and we just knew. And then from that day, and I'm so blessed and so appreciative to this, because Catalyst has been so welcoming, mm-hmm. so loving, so accepting of our family, embracing us from day one, like wrapping your guys' arm. And I don't even think nobody really knew. Mm-hmm. what was happening or what was going on in our lives or who we were, or where we came from, or the situation we were facing. And they just wrapped their arm. That love that the church gave us just really, I believe, propelled our healing very quickly. Because I think if we kept searching and we kept looking, I think it would have prolonged our healing process.
Yeah.
But immediately God just began to heal and restore and just begin to make our heart like, you're okay, you're fine, you're in a good place. This is where, and the love of the people and the friendships and just the reaching everybody has out. It's so blessed. So blessed to be part of Catalyst, to be part of this family, to be part of this church is like So our search is just, it was one and done.
I mean, I wouldn't say one and done, because you went to all those other ones before that God was like, shut the door on right?
Yeah.
But once you actually found Catalyst, it's like, okay, this, we can be here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it was definitely, and then I was, even yesterday, I looked at my wife, you prayed about the comeback win. I told my wife, I go, see, I knew this was the right change. Even the Dodgers make it into the prayers.
That was kind of a spur of the moment thing too. I'm glad you appreated it.
Oh, I
know
did.
Uncle Jesse and Pastor Barry probably did not appreciate it. But yeah, no, it's really cool to see your journey and just the way that the Lord has been leading you, and just your desire to hear from the Lord in each of the steps too. You know, it was really encouraging to me, you know, hearing your story about, like, you know, when you were 20 and the things that were going on, and you sought the Lord and God said, no, now's not the time. But then when this all stuff happened, it's like, okay, no, now's the time. So it's really cool just to hear just the ways that you've been hearing the Lord's voice over the course of your life, and how you've been saying, like, okay, this might be an unpopular decision with my family, but this, I'm going to choose to follow the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. And just the ways that you say, I want to follow the Lord and I want to go where he wants me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it that to me is just such an inspiring journey of just hearing your story. Is just like, yeah, that's so cool. Like, you've actively said, I want to hear from you, God, before I make a decision. And then when he says something that could be controversial or difficult, it's like, no, I'm going to do this because that's what God said. Yeah, that's just so cool. I really appreciate that. So thanks for sharing that part of your journey, because I think that's really a tough spot for some people a lot of times, right? It's like, okay, I feel like the Lord might be calling me over here, but this is going to be, so what do I do? I want to follow the Lord, but then also I don't want to ruffle feathers, or I don't want, you know, like, my family's on this side and I'm on this side. What do I do? And so, yeah, I just feel really encouraged by your faith that you said, like, I'm going to choose the Lord first.
Yeah. I mean, I wish it was easy. You know, I wish that was the easiest thing. Oh yeah. No big deal. No problem. It's not always. Some things are, you know, some things are pretty clear. Like, no, but there's times where that is difficult. Mm-hmm. And it was the hardest decision I've ever made in my life was, like, okay, Lord, like, God showing me that it was okay to leave. Like, that, like, being obedient in that, you know, is huge. It's not easy. So if anybody ever struggles with that, don't think, you know, I'm bad, I'm wrong, something's wrong with me because this is not an easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's not, you know. And the good thing about God is I believe with all my heart he understands that.
Mm.
He understands it's not easy. He understands that it's a difficult choice. Like, look at the story of the rich young ruler in the Bible with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. When he walked away, like, Jesus was grieved in his heart for him because he knew it wasn't an easy thing to ask him. You know, he knew it was hard. He knew what he was going to say. And yet it still grieved his heart because he walked away. Mm-hmm. So he understands that it's not, I mean, I'm in the garden. Lord, if there's...
I was just going to say, in the garden, like, I mean, he knew the difficult pull of both sides, right? But it's like, no, I'm going to submit and your will be done, not mine.
Right? Yeah, I remember one time I did a message on that, on the garden, mm-hmm. and the whole thing was about seeking God's direction in your life. And the whole point of the message in a nutshell was, like, if Jesus had to pray and say, God, help me with, if this, you know, with this decision, who am I not to pray over a situation? Because if Jesus, the perfect example in the garden, was like, Lord, if there's any other way, you know, for this, you know, to pray and contend and ask God, the Father, for what to do, or how to handle that situation, get through that situation. What makes you think I'm above that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let me make sure I'm, you know, God, what do I do? But at the end of the day, Lord, let your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Let what you want done, you know? And I think that's even, like, listening to the message on Sunday, like, you can trust God with that decision. Mm-hmm. He's going to take care of you. You know, and I just think anybody that would struggle with that, mm-hmm. like, man, this is hard. It's hard. Yeah, it is hard. It is very hard. It's not easy. It is not easy at all. God understands, you know, his grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. His grace truly is sufficient. You know, he'll help you with it, you know. Yeah, definitely would like be encouraged because, they, you know, sometimes we think, you know, in the church, like, I'm the only one that struggles with this. Mm. Like, no, like, it's never, it's, you know, it's a hard thing. I'm sure it was hard for Pastor Barry to leave Sacramento and come down here. I bet it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was a hard decision to leave the church and start Catalyst. You know, it's a big step. Like, whoa, you know, the things we're talking about, the things that you guys are getting involved in and all the things you guys are doing. Whoa, that's a big step. Mm-hmm. That's heavy. That's a big thing. You know, it's not, God, what do we do? Do I really want to do this? You know, God, I know what you're calling me to do, but like we're saying, I know what comes with that. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, him testing out. Now, what do I do with my life? Like, Lord, oh man, like it's a big step. You know, it's a big decision to make. You know, it's not always easy. It's not always, and it's not always clear. I don't think, right? Like, I don't think it's always clear exactly what to do, but that's the beauty of faith, right? I mean, the Bible says that what do you need faith for if you can see it? You know, faith is meant for what you can't see. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like that's and like my favorite scripture in the Bible, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Mm. That's in Hebrews 11. That's huge. Why? Because I want to please God. Everybody, I want to please God. I want to please God. How do you please him? You have faith in him and you trust that he is who he says he is, you know, and he'll bless those that diligently seek him. You trust in him and you have faith in him. And that pleases the Father. That makes him happy that you trusted him. Give him the opportunity. I could tell people, give him the opportunity to show off. Right, give him the opportunity to do something crazy in your life. Give him an opportunity to do a miracle. Give him the, because he's looking for it. Mm. He won't force it. Like, but I think he's like, oh yeah, let me let me show you what I could do. Let me show you what I could do. You know, I heard in a preaching one time, the guy was preaching and he said God gives us dreams so that we can watch him do accomplish it in our lives. Mm. He shows you something. He gives you a dream. Oh, that's so cool. And God's like, watch what I'm gonna do. You know, I think he likes to spoil his children. I think, you know, I believe he does. I think he's like, let me show you what I can do, you know? And I think that's so, then we get to ride the wave with them and just experience it and be like, oh man, that was so awesome.
I really like that saying, give God the opportunity to show off. Yeah. I like that. All right. Well, okay. So already I'm looking at the clock right now. For someone that says that they don't really like talking and stuff, I mean, we're doing pretty good. And I'm pretty sure this is longer than any episode Richard's been ever on. So, oh, man. So you got bragging rights on him right now. But you know, as we're starting to wrap up, I just wanted to ask you a question. Like, is there any last words that you want to leave with our listeners before we end this episode? Anything that you'd like to share? Anything else that you'd want to prepare our people for when you speak? Because you know, I'm like I said, just even this conversation, it's like, oh man, I'm getting even more excited for your turn in the pulpit. Yeah, just it's been really cool to have this conversation and get to know you a little bit better.
I would say what I would like to share is for those that are in the church and you do little things like you greet somebody, mm-hmm. you walk up and shake their hand and introduce yourself. You know, even if you don't stand there and have a long conversation with them, you may feel like it's a little thing, but you really don't know what's going on that person's on the other end, what's going on in their life, mm-hmm. and the impact just that small gesture of kindness and love, what it does mm-hmm. to them. And you don't know, even though I know, I don't may not talk to a lot of people in the church, or I walk around, say a lot of things to people, or be, you know, it's just not my personality, but the impact the church has had on my family mm-hmm. and on the kids and what it's doing for us. You may not never really know or see, but don't ever think it's a small, there's no small thing in the house of God. There's never a small thing in the kingdom of God. Everything you do for the Lord is a big thing. And so don't be discouraged. Don't think like, oh, it's not, I'm going to go say, if you go, God puts on your heart, go do it. Cause you don't know what that's going to mean to somebody. You don't know what that's going to do for them. That might be the time they say, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm at my wit's end. I've been praying and asking God. I don't have an answer. I haven't been hearing anything. I'm frustrated or I'm discouraged or whatever this is going on in my life. And you walk up and you just say something that you really don't know mm-hmm. the impact that can have on somebody's life because it's had a huge impact on ours. And I wanted to share that with the church here. They say, you know what, you've been a huge blessing to us. So I thank you. I thank Catalyst for being loving. I thank Catalyst for being real. I thank Catalyst for being welcoming us into the family and the fold and wrapping your arms around us. That's huge. So if I could leave anything, it would be that. Just thank you so much for your guys' willingness to show love to people who you don't know, rather are a little different, come from somewhere else, but you didn't hesitate. You didn't put up a wall. You didn't dance. You guys loved immediately from day one. So thank you so much for that, because it just really, it helped our family heal and for everything that we were going through. So I think that's what I would want to leave with everybody.
Wow. Man, I'm getting emotional just hearing you talk about that. But yeah, just, man, I really appreciate you and your family. And just as we continue to get to know you guys more, it's just like, man, God has brought some really, I say this all the time on Multigen, God's brought some really cool people to our church. And, you know, your family's totally included in that. Just, man, the more we get to know, it's like, man, so encouraged, so excited. Yeah, just, yeah, I'm kind of speechless right now, Tony, just like hearing your story and hearing you share, just like, man, I feel so blessed. So thank you for coming on. Thanks for sharing your story and your life with our church. And yeah, just excited for all that God has in store for us.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
All right. Well, and thank you to all of our listeners out there. Richard, you're coming up soon. Tony went for over an hour and 10. So he's got some bragging rights a little bit right now. So I know Richard gets competitive. So just throwing it out there. All right. Well, until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.